a wonderful job there, Brother Jake. Last moment. I was looking forward to Dr. Queen singing this morning. He's one of the few preachers that can sing. Some of us can't sing and we know it, and some sing and they don't know it. But anyway, I'm thankful to the Lord today. Thank you for that wonderful song. Jesus, only Jesus. I was listening this morning on my iTunes on my phone to a song by Chris Tomlin. It's called Satisfied. And he says, you know what? The only one that can satisfy us is Jesus. And he is. And he says, I count my blessings one by one. His goodness in my life. How could I ask for more? In him, I'm satisfied. And boy, I tell you what, when we think about that, only in him can we be satisfied. He says, I'm satisfied. Nothing else can satisfy me. No one else can satisfy me. The only one that can satisfy us is Jesus. Do you believe that today? Now, by the way, if we believe that, we'll do something about it. Amen? Because today we're going to begin thinking about Thanksgiving. I know next Sunday we're having our big meal. And I imagine we'll have a bigger crowd when we feed people. They come, and they'll come out. You feed those Baptists, they'll show up. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad they're going to come next Sunday because they'll be a part of our second part of our Thanksgiving. Next Sunday, we'll have an opportunity for you. If you want to express thanks, we're going to have some mics set up, and you're going to be able to be a part of the sermon next Sunday because you're going to be able to give thanks for something that God has done for you. Folks, we have a plague in our country today. And the plague in our country, believe it or not, it's not a political plague. Even though we're in a mess right now politically. Because they can't get anything done at Congress because they're too busy trying to impeach the president. But I'm going to tell you something. Whether you agree with that or don't agree with that, I think what they need to do is they need to get seeking the Lord up there. If they sought the Lord, they wouldn't get caught up in these petty things. And we're spending millions and millions of dollars at Americans that are doing all sorts of investigations. And what we need to be about is trying to get things together for our country. We have a plague. Yes, there's a plague among us. There's an economic plague. Even though we're economically good, we're trillions and trillions of dollars in debt right now. Do you realize that that's going to be upon our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, the debt that America has? And if it wasn't for the low interest rate, we had already crashed, folks. We need to understand there's a plague. There's a moral plague in our country. Amen? We are morally bankrupt today. We have convictions that used to be strong convictions that are no longer there. The things they show on TV today would make your parents and my grandparents turn over in their grave, would it not? Even the commercials are just ugly and nasty and a poor taste. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to turn back to the Lord. But a greater problem I think we have in America today is the sin of ingratitude. We live in a world that expects everything, and we live in a world that says, hey, I'm owed something. I'm owed something. You owe me something. And by the way, I want you to know the Bible never says you're owed something. The Bible says that everything we are and everything we'll all be is by the grace of God. In fact, the Bible says this in James 1. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. In other words, if you're blessed with a perfect gift today, it's from God. You say, well, I did it myself. I'm a self-made person. I want you to know you're not a self-made person. You're here by the grace of God. He's given you things that you have by the grace of God. You have a house over your head by the grace of God. You have food on your table by the grace of God. You have running water by the grace of God. You have healthy children by the grace of God. And God has blessed our nation above measure. And it's time for us to turn our hearts back to God, folks. We got to do it. And it's now is the time. We can't delay another moment. You know, the Bible says that when you're filled with the Spirit, in Ephesians 5:18, there's results of being filled with the Spirit. And as we're being filled with the Spirit, by the way, when you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit in your life. You were baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, we must understand that. But I want you to know, once you have come into the body of Christ, you receive the Spirit. The Bible says we must be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. In that Ephesians 5 passage, it's in the present tense, continual tense. It's in the passive voice. Means you don't do it for yourself. God does it in you. He's the one that fills you with the Holy Spirit. But it's also a command. It's not a suggestion. It's in the imperative mood. You're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And as you're filled with the Spirit, the Bible says you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You will make melody in your heart to God. Well, that's a real response there. I used to sit up here, you know, used to have those little pews, you know, and it just one person could sit there. And I used to sit up here and look out at some of y'all, and I tell you what, I quit doing it because I got so depressed during the music service that I couldn't preach. Because some of you look like you've lost your long aunt, or you lost your dog this week, which some of us care about our dogs more than we do about the Lord. And some of us are concerned because the Cowboys might get beat again today. In fact, we have members that are so concerned about the Cowboys getting beat today, they left after Sunday school to go watch them play. Hello? That's more, of course, it's more important than the Lord is. You say, I'm going to tell them you said that. Well, you can tell them I said that. It'd be fine with me. Because I'm going to tell you what, we got our priorities mixed up, folks. And that shows a sign of our ingratitude. That shows a sign of our ingratitude. It says also when we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be thankful people, not sometimes, always, for all things that God has done for us. And it says the third result, we'll be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. By the way, if you haven't submitted yourself to God, you'll never be submissive to anyone else. I share with you today, folks, what we need is a new era of thanksgiving to come in God's people and in their hearts. The Bible exhorts us to give thanks over and over again. In the Old Testament, we find verses like this, Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay vows unto the Most High. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The Bible says in Psalm 105, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Let me ask you a question. When did you last time you told someone that God's good? Good. He's good. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is good. Now the pastor can say, all of y'all have done that now. Amen. But we have much to give thankful for, folks. And we come today, I want to share a psalm today with you. It's really a psalm of call to worship, but I want to turn it into a psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 100. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Psalm 100. Who it is addressed to? It says it's addressed to all ye lands, all generations. Of whom does it speak? The Lord. Being really thankful begins with us being rightly related to the giver of every good gift, folks. Look at that Psalm 100. It's a psalm that calls us to worship. And by the way, John 4 says God is looking for true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. But he says in Psalm 100, look at it together with me. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Don't miss that. He is God. He hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then it says, Brother Ricky shared this morning, and the key verse in your bulletin, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Enter into worship. Enter into his presence. How do we do that? Through thanksgiving and praise. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? Look there in verse 5. For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all, not some, to all generations. Now, I want you to see the key to this psalm. Don't miss it. What does it say? Make a joyful noise unto the who? Lord. Look there at verse 2. Serve the who? Lord with gladness. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And we're at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Why? Because the Lord is good. May I tell you, the center of our thanksgiving is the Lord. When you're centered and focused on the Lord, you will not have a problem giving thanks. You will not have a problem to thank God for what he's done in your life and what he's done in those around you. You'll be thankful even for the small things. Now, many of you got up this morning, you got in your car and you drove to church, you ought to be thankful it got here, amen? Because some of us used to have a car that we wasn't sure is going to get here or not. Some might have a car like that right now. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to be thankful for those small things. Notice he gives us 7 commands or imperatives in this psalm that I want to look at today as we think about thanksgiving. And I'm going to talk about what does a thankful person do today. What does a thankful person do? First of all, he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The Hebrew reads there, shout to the Lord. When God works in our lives, we have something to declare, and we must declare it to others. First of all, I want you to see today, a thankful person always looks upward. A thankful person always looks upward. It turns our hearts. I don't know about y'all. I like Thanksgiving better than any other holiday. You know why? Because there's not a lot of pilgrim hype. I know people are already putting up their Christmas lights and they're putting up all the things. I was reading in the news this week where one family got called out for it with their homeowners association. They told them they couldn't put up their Christmas lights till after Thanksgiving. I say, good news, good news. We always skip Thanksgiving and we just rush right to Christmas, folks. But I want you to know, don't miss Thanksgiving this morning. Turn your heads upward to God. And when you turn your head upward to God, you will be thankful and you will declare it to other people. Hebrews 13:15 says, we're to bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Think about that just a minute. We're to give thanksgiving to God. The fruit of our lips, it's a sacrifice. By the way, you know what God's looking for? No, New Testament. What did they bring? They brought their lamb or a goat or a turtle dove. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that today? This carpet wouldn't look too good if I, as the pastor, was up here sacrificing animals week after week. It'd get a little bloody, wouldn't it? But listen to me. The sacrifices that God is looking for, the spiritual sacrifices that he's looking for, one of those is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. And when we declare his goodness, folks, it affects other people. Have you ever noticed that? When you're around people that are negative and pessimistic, you become negative and pessimistic. But if you're around people that are positive and they're thankful, you become a person of thanks. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a person of thanks? Are you shouting to the Lord today? Are you shouting joyfully? Do you declare your thanksgiving to others? Do you bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God? Not just on Sunday, but every single day of the week, do you get on your knees and give thanks to God? I told you that I was moved when I went to Africa, because the people in Africa, when they arrive to church, you know what they do? They don't go sit in a pew. They don't have pews. And they don't sit in a chair. A lot of them don't have chairs. They just have these little benches, don't even have backs. They're hard as a rock. I've sat in one before. But you know, and some of them sit down on blankets. I said preached at a church in Mombasa one Sunday, had over 5,000 people there, and many of them were sitting out there on their beautiful woven blankets that they do. But I want to tell you something. Whenever they arrive to church, you know what they do? They come to this altar first. What do they do? Why do they come to the altar? Well, they come to the altar, I believe, because they're acknowledging God. They're saying, "You're God." They're saying, "Listen, I'm willing to bow a knee this morning to God, and I'm willing to give him thanks." And I think they thank God for their church. They thank God for their salvation. I think they thank God for every provision in their life. And then they're ready to worship. May I suggest to you, next Sunday morning, would you get up early and get along with God and just begin to thank him? And if you do that every Sunday, when you come to church, you're not going to be sitting there with your hands folded like this and say, "Preacher, give it your best shot." But you're going to, with joy, receive the word of God, and you're going to, in the music service, you're going to be excited about the songs we sing, and you're going to be shouting joyfully to God. A thankful heart looks upward to God. That's what I like about Thanksgiving, by the way. You know, we seem to have just a few hours there before Black Friday. You know, they've moved Black Friday now to Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Remember how it used to be early in the morning? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you act like you don't want to talk about it, but you know what I'm talking about. But now, it's like, hey, we've changed Black Friday to Thursday at 4. We're going to get ahead of everybody else because we want to get every dime out of the American people we can for Christmas. May I tell you the greatest thing about Christmas is Jesus, folks. And I think we need to put our focus back on that. We need to put our focus back on him. And that's what thankfulness does. A thankful heart looks upward to God, and it's involved in making a joyful noise to God. The second imperative there, notice what it says, serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. You know, I love it when people serve the Lord with gladness, don't you? When you see that when they serve, it isn't out of obligation, it's out of a grateful heart. A healthy sign of a grateful person, a grateful life, is when they serve the Lord with gladness. May I tell you, a thankful person not only looks upward, but they look outward as they serve God with gladness. By the way, if you're serving in our church, I pray you serve in the Lord with gladness or you'll quit next week. Because I tell you, you ought to be serving with gladness. Amen. If you're teaching that Sunday school class, you ought to get there on Sunday morning. You ought to be excited about it. Not get here. You're supposed to be here, by the way, if you're a Sunday school teacher, by 9:30, no later. Senior adults class started earlier than that. When the children show up, you're waiting there for them. You're saying, "I'm so glad you came today," and give those children a hug and rejoice that they're there and be excited about the word of God, folks. That's what we ought to do. That's serving God with gladness. When we come this Friday night and Saturday, we're going to give out, by the way, we usually give out about 140 Thanksgiving baskets. We're pushing 200 this year. Praise God. Amen. Our church is going to be able to have an impact on families in our community and families in our church and families that are coming. And those who have requested, just called on the phone, heard about it. They said, "Could we have a Thanksgiving basket?" And we're saying, absolutely, because we want to serve God with gladness. And when they come next Saturday and you're handing them that basket, don't say, "Boy, they're driving a better car than I am." Or, "They sure do have nice clothes." We don't know their circumstance. We don't do that. We don't give people a basket out of their circumstance. If they say they need one, we're going to give it away. Because guess what? I'd rather be taken than not give. That's what God calls us to do. We're to serve him with gladness. Are you serving him with gladness and loving that little child, or encouraging someone in your class, or visiting a shut-in. Do you serve God with gladness in that way? It's a joy to visit a shut-in. They bring us much more blessings than we could ever give. Do you serve God with gladness when you're singing in the choir? Why, to have a whole lot more people up here, because God has gifted people. But we're to serve him with gladness. Do we serve him with gladness whenever we joyfully come before him with gladness and we serve him, whether it be working in the church, serving on the committee, or whatever it is? It's not a judge, folks. It's a joy to serve. Amen? God's given us a joy to serve him. As I said, if you're not having that joy, if that joy's gone, you need to step aside. Because I tell you what, we need people in our church that are serving him with gladness. We need people that are excited about what God's done in their life. And as a result of that, they're sharing it with other people, but they're serving God with gladness because they're looking outward. That healthy sign of that grateful life is a life that serves God, serves the Lord with gladness. And I want to tell you today, that's when God blesses us above measure. He invests us in us. So we have a, when we make a joyful noise, we have a thankful person looking upward. When we serve the Lord with gladness, we have a thankful person looking outward. Thirdly, notice what he says in our text, come before his presence with singing. You see that? I love to sing the songs of our faith. I don't know about you. Isn't it great that we still sing those songs great of faith? Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, my Father. So many songs we sing, folks, today. They have tremendous meaning. God gave people these songs that we can sing. And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you get blessed of the Lord, you're going to have something to sing about. Now, I tell you, thirdly, I want you to hear this. A thankful person has something to sing about. Do you hear me? A thankful person has something to sing about. Do you have a song in your heart? Remember, as I talked about Ephesians 5:18, being filled with the Spirit, you'll sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Is that not what Paul and Silas did in Acts 16 when they had gotten whipped for sharing the gospel? They had stripes on their back, but at midnight, the Bible says in Acts 16:25, they began to praise and give glory to God in hymns. As they did that, an earthquake came and shook open the doors of the prison. And the Philippian jailer who was lost, praise God, he came and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What had he seen in Paul and Silas' life? They were praising God in the midst of trouble, folks. They had been persecuted. They had been whipped. They had been thrown in prison. And they still gave God praise. Well, I tell you what. We thank God if everything's going good. As long as we're on the mountains, everything's good. And let me tell you what, the Bible doesn't say that. Listen to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Listen to it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whenever God's people, just like Paul and Silas, by the way, you remember when God's people were brought over the Red Sea over there in the book of Exodus? Finally, Pharaoh let them go, and they're going there. They get to the Red Sea, and they look back, and Pharaoh, he said he's going to let them go, but his army's following them with all these chariots and everything else, and they look back, and they're there, and Moses cries out to God, what am I going to do? He says, what's that in your hand? Well, it's the rod. It became God's rod. Remember what he did? He put it down, and the waters parted, and the children of Israel went over on dry land, and the Egyptian army drowned in the water with all their chariots. In Exodus 15, I don't know if you've read this recently, but Exodus 15, he sings a song to the Lord, by the way. Do you know that? And we used to sing it as a praise song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing it to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. Look at it in Exodus 15 there, folks. And I want to tell you something. Listen to this. Whenever they got delivered from Egypt, they had a song to sing. Listen to me today. If you have been saved, you have been delivered from bondage. You've been delivered, according to Ephesians 2, from death, from being dead in sins, by being dominated by Satan, by being doomed by this world, and God showed you his love. He took you out of the miry clay, and he set your feet upon a rock. The Bible says he has taken you out of darkness and brought you into light. He has redeemed you with his own blood. And I'll tell you, we have something to sing about today because of what God has done for us. Because I tell you, that's what they did. I tell you, Moses had a song in his heart. You have a song in your heart? Come before his presence with singing. Wow. Now, by the way, you know what that involves? Follow me here. It involves more than just coming in his presence with singing. Notice verse 4. Know ye. What are we to know? We're to know that he is the Lord God. Let's don't forget, who is he? He is the creator. We are the created. We are his sheep and we belong to him. Now we get that mixed up. A lot of us think we created God for us. And he's kind of like this benevolent Santa Claus in heaven that we could just call out for him and he'd just bring anything we need. But I'm going to tell you what, God's a whole lot more than that. I hope you'll understand that. In fact, the more you get to know him, the more you'll get to understand who he is. Because see, a part of worship is understanding his worth. And understanding who he is. By the way, when you understand who he is, you'll give praise. When you understand what he's done, you'll give thanksgiving. That's what will happen. And we'll naturally do it. It isn't something we got to be challenged by the pastor to do or by someone else to do. We'll naturally give thanks to God and we'll declare his goodness among the people. We'll declare, God, you are the creator. I'm the created. We are the sheep and he is the shepherd and we belong to him. Worship involves knowing God intimately and wonderfully. And when we do that, we will have something to sing about. But notice the fourth thing I want you to see. A thankful heart acknowledges all he is and all he has done for us. Now, by the way, we can spend from now till next Sunday talking about who he is and what he's done for us. Amen? Thank God just spent. Who is he? Who is God? He's the creator of all the ends of the earth. We believe, according to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All he had to do is speak it into being. He did it 6 days, by the way. On the seventh day, he rested. He was teaching us the importance of that seventh day of rest. Listen to me today, church. When we understand who God is, and we understand who we are, we'll be humbled by that. And we'll be humbled by the fact that the God of this universe cares for us. Psalm 121 says this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the Lord from which cometh my strength. My strength comes from the Lord. And then he says, who made heaven and earth? By the way, if he can make heaven and earth, he can give you and I strength for day by day by day. What do we got to do? We got to live one day at a time, folks. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us can live in yesterday. It's already gone. Many of us want to live in the past. We want to live in the future. God wants us to live in the present. He wants us to acknowledge who he is. We'll declare who he is to others. And we acknowledge what he's done for us. And we'll be thankful for even the small things. Amen? Are you thankful for the small things? How about the hot water you had today? You ever tried to take a shower in cold water? I remember when we took one of our trips down to Mexico, and we were heading down there to Mexico. Brother Butch, you remember our little trip to Mexico, and we got rained out, and we had to get out of there because the road we went into, we were building a church down below Tampico, and we helped that church from the very beginning build a church, and our church put money into it. The men and ladies of our church went down there and worked. I mean, we worked and worked and worked. But it rained so bad that we had to get out of there, because if we didn't get out of there right then, we were not going to get out of there, because that road would be a total mud pit. So we didn't like to travel at night in Mexico, but we went at night in Mexico, and I was saying, oh, Lord, help us to find a place, and oh, boy, did we find a place. We found a hotel there that we could afford to put people up in. Brother Butch and I, we volunteered graciously to stay in the van, to watch the van, because we went to the room where the rooms were, and we wasn't sure. You've heard of the Roach Motel? By the way, this is about 100 times worse than that. When you turn the shower on, and the water would just kind of drip down the wall there. You couldn't even be hit with it. If you want to get hit with water, you'd have to kind of put your hand underneath there and do this, you know. And Ralph and Shirley got the honeymoon suite. I mean, they were over there. That's probably the hardest bed they've ever slept on in all their life. Amen? But I tell you, after that, I was thankful for my bed. Amen? I was thankful that my shower does work. And for running water, those small things that we forget. He is the creator, and we are his people, folks. And then notice the next thing. I want you to see, not only talked about a thankful person looks upward, a thankful person looks outward, a thankful person has something to sing about, a thankful person acknowledges that he is God and not we ourselves, and we are his people. Fifthly, a thankful person declares it to others around them, because it says, look at what it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, for the Lord is good, folks. I want you to hear this today. The Lord's good. Is he good to you? Have you told someone about it? Boy, you should. You ought to declare it every day. I mean, you have an opportunity every day, whether you go to Walmart or go down to HEB or Kroger or wherever you shop, and places you go, you get to declare God. This Thursday, I'll go to treatment. God's going to give Andrew and I an opportunity to declare to someone the goodness of God. He almost always does, because there's people that are hurting. Those people there, I'm taking immune therapy. They're taking chemo. I know what it's like to take chemo. I took six different types of chemo. But I want to tell you something today, church. God is good. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the goodness of God. I wouldn't be around if it wasn't for the goodness of God. And I wished I could say to the church at Lane Prairie, I wish I could declare like they did that first Thanksgiving day, that they gathered together to give thanks for what God had done for them and to turn their heads upward. I wish I could make every single member of Lane Prairie Baptist Church to be here next Sunday. But I can't do that, because, see, you have a freedom of choice. You can choose to follow God, or you can choose not to. You could choose to stay at home and grumble, or you could choose to acknowledge God, as we will next Sunday, as we come together and give thanks to his name. I close with this today, and I'm going to finish this next Sunday. But there's a man who wrote the song, Count Your Many Blessings. I imagine we'll probably sing that next Sunday. Brother Jake, I'm sure we are. It's a great song. But you know, his name, the one who wrote this, his name was Johnson Oatman Jr. He was born right after the Civil War, by the way, to his parents. His dad was involved in business, and he worked with his dad in that business. He did a lot of ministry, but you know what? He decided he didn't go into full-time ministry because he wanted to be there to help his dad out, but he also wanted to have the finances where if he was ministering to people, he didn't need a dime. Well, wouldn't that be a great way to live? And he wanted to live that way. But he started writing in 1892 hymns. And he wrote 200 hymns a year. He ended up writing 5,000 hymns, folks. Some of the hymns he wrote is, "There's no one like the Lord, no, not one, no, not one." You know that song, don't you? He wrote also the great hymn about the fact that higher ground, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. I'm pressing on to higher ground. But he wrote this song, "Count Your Many Blessings." When upon life's billows you're tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you're called to bear? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When you look at others with their lands in gold, think that Christ hath promised you have wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high. The last verse goes like this. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, I know we have people this morning, they're in conflict. They're in conflict in their families. They're in conflict in their finances. They're in conflict in their job. They're in conflict in different things. But he says this, whether great or small, do not be discouraged because God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Think about that. God's going to take care of you till you end this journey. Philippians 1:6 says, the work that God has begun in you, he's going to complete until the day of Jesus Christ. The one who saves you is the one who keeps you. The one who saves you is the one who walks with you. The one who saves you said in Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. The one who saves you is your provider. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I tell you, the one who saved you is the one who gives you strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The one who saves you is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And we have seen that happening in our church where God has healed people and restored people. How does he do it? Through prayer. The one who saved you, you need to count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. This is what I encourage you to do this week. I encourage you to take a piece of paper, write on there, spiritual blessings, physical blessings, people blessings, and personal blessings that God's given you, his provision. Just make a list. Because next Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to count our many blessings. And we're going to give you an opportunity not to preach a sermon, but we're going to give you an opportunity to say something you're thankful for. And if you made the list, you ought to find something. Amen. By the way, there's more than something. There's many things. He says, if we count our blessings, it will surprise us what God has done. For some here today, what you need is you need the Lord. Until you know him, you don't know his blessings. And I'm going to invite you to come this morning. Take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. That's all you got to say, Pastor, I need Jesus. And they'll sit down with you on one of these front chairs here, and they're going to explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like Josh said to us earlier, all of us are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Jesus died at Calvary for our sins, but we must turn from our sins. We must repent, and we must turn to God, and we must submit to his lordship. Because we got to confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you will be saved. Today you can be saved. You can be forgiven of every sin that you've ever committed to this day right now. You can have a brand new start today. We invite you to come to Jesus. Others here today, let me tell you, I believe God might be leading you to Lane Fruit. You've been visiting here for a while. A thankful heart plugs into a church where they're a part of that fellowship. We're not a perfect fellowship, but I'm going to tell you what, I believe we're a praying fellowship. We're a caring fellowship. We're doing those 200 baskets for needy families. I ought to speak something to someone today because God's good. He has provided for that, by the way. You realize that they moved the turkeys. They were 68 cents a pound. The guy from Walmart called Brother Ricky and said, hey, we just put them down to 37 cents a pound. Can you believe that? I mean, that went from buying a $10 turkey for 14 pounds to buying a $5 turkey. That's God, folks. He has provided. People have given for it. Thank God. And I'll tell you what, if you want to be a part of a church like that, we invite you to come join our church today. Be a part of our fellowship. But I really believe the invitation is for all of us today. We're going to respond one way or another. We're going to either be thankful or we're going to remain in gratitude. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you if you're thankful today, right even where you are. You can do it right where you are. Or I'm going to invite you to come to this altar, bend a knee, invite, maybe sit on the front steps if you can't bend a knee. Sit on the front pew if you can't bend a knee. And just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. May I never forget what you've done for me. The greatest gift of all is salvation, folks. But we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the grace of God. We all should be in this altar saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together.